Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather Show. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in Manhattan on the Upper East Side, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk with a cat who has grown too big for the desk at my feet. He's decided he doesn't fit anymore, so he's taken to lying on the floor instead of the desk. And the other two are sleeping. You know, we're all kind of a lazy, mellow Sunday night in this beginning of the end of summer, beginning of the end of spring, beginning of the summer. And today is the radio show for the week of June 14th, 2010. What the purpose of this show is to step you through the aspects that are coming in the week ahead in the heavens, and then they will be reflected down here on Earth, as above, so with so below, as without, so within, or as within, so without. You know, you can kind of twist that phrase around. It does seem to work, though. For thousands and thousands of years, astrologers have, and other people, have studied the heavens and noted there's a correlation between what's above with what's below. And this show talks to you about what the heavens are talking about, so you can see it down here in the world, in your world around you, and in the life around you. So we're going to talk about the energy and how to work with it best. And we have astrology lessons, a little astrology lesson. And we take calls from listeners if you have questions about things. And so the show is offered in the spirit of saying, wow, what a crazy and wild world we live in, and how do we best work with it? So that's the theme. So this week we actually have, we're shifting. And I know, because I've heard it from all of my clients, that you can feel the shift too. That over the last 2 weeks, that energy of kind of floating along on a lazy raft, not really knowing where you were going, all of a sudden everything is moving quick, moving fast, pushing on you, and saying, okay, we got to do something. Okay, we got to do something. And that's because two big planets, actually, have shifted signs, and they have left the dreamy, floaty, oh, life's, you know, kind of rolling down the river with your hand dragging in the water, into the rocking rapids, the wild and crazy pulsing rapids of Aries. They've left Pisces, gone into Aries. Turbulence. So they're also about new beginnings. So one of the things that when a planet changes signs, many of us find happen in our life, is we start feeling that energy. So where you'd been maybe kind of floating along, thinking, well, I don't know if I should do this or I should do that, maybe this, maybe that. Now it's like new beginnings have happened. There's a new beginning in your life in a very Aries kind of way. So it's here, da-da, and you are now, da-da, in the new life. And so if I listen to the different people in my world who have been talking to me about changes going on in their lives, and certainly I've had them in mind too, including with the cat deciding he doesn't fit on the desk anymore and it's time for him to sleep on the floor like a big boy, a big cat. Because he is a big cat, and he really doesn't fit anymore. But I'm kind of like, oh, I really liked it when you slept on the desk and I could pet you. Now you're at my feet, and I can pet you with my feet, but that's not nearly as much fun. It's about new beginnings for all of us. Even the cats feel it. So watch in your life where the new beginning is taking place. And that house is zero Aries, okay? Wherever you have zero Aries in your life, that's the area where your chart is going, new beginning. And then you natally look back to where you have Uranus, whatever house Uranus is in your natal chart, and whatever house Jupiter is in your natal chart. And those two houses are up and dancing too. And they're singing and they're going, hi, we have a new beginning. And then look at the house that has Sagittarius or a Pisces on it, because that's the house that Jupiter rules, and the house that has Aquarius on it, because that's the house that Uranus rules. And those three houses are up and dancing. And there could be up to six houses, because sometimes planets straddle two houses. And when they enter a sign, everybody in the sign stands up and goes, wow, they came in the room. It's kind of like the State of the Union, you know, when they announce, when the guy on the floor goes, the President of the United States, and they all stand up and applaud. That's kind of what happened in the last 2 weeks. Now they're all going to sit down, they're all going to settle in, the president's going to talk for a while in the form of Uranus and Jupiter, and then the action really starts as he gets in there a little bit. Now, remember, he's given a speech. Uranus and Jupiter are given a speech for the next 2 months. And unless you have planets at very early Aries, All the speech is going to do is get you ready for what's going to come. The people that have stuff at early Aries or early points, 0 and 1 in their charts, they're going to really get rocking. And as the collective and as the group, we're going to have a big, big excitement and a big drama in the next 2 months. But for a lot of people, it's not going to show up until those planets actually get in further into their chart. But they're waking everybody up, and they're waking everybody up to say, notice me, time to go forward. And so that is really what you're supposed to do, is notice them, time to go forward, pay attention to what they woke up, and then look and say, okay, that's awake now. I need to work with this in a new way. Okay, so that's the big message. The other thing we had, as they did it, was a new moon in Gemini that actually echoed the positioning of the Jupiter-Uranus union that happened last week. And what that did was it said, you have to make a choice. It's time to make a choice. Time to make a choice. And there's a lot of times when we're going along and we're kind of, well, you know, I could do this or I could do that. I don't really know what I want. Now all of a sudden, the impetus or the desire or the feeling that you have to pick something and move towards that and correspondingly move away from something else is very, very active. So giving that permission and letting that energy kind of evoke in you what changes you need and what decisions you need to make. There's a very strong energy now about wanting to move everything forward and for you to have to pick something. And the picking piece comes over the next few weeks as we enter the eclipse season. So as I like to say in my column, the eclipses are coming. The eclipses are coming. So we had the new moon Saturday, and the new moon seeded this new cycle, and now we're in the build-up and the approach to the eclipses. Now, what the eclipses are, and that we'll be building over the next few weeks as we also work with this new energy in Jupiter and Uranus traveling together. What the eclipses do is they make us pick. They bring a choice. They bring things to a head. They're kind of the cosmic police, I guess is the best way to think of them, or the cosmic equalizers. Remember The Equalizer, that TV show? Where the guy had a little ad feeling, you need extra help, call me, I'll help you equalize the situation. And, you know, people would call in distress and he would go and help them because they run into something bigger than them. What the eclipses do is they bring to light situations that have been in existence for a while, but we haven't necessarily dealt with. Or they bring to light the story that we need to see on a new level and work with on a new level that we haven't necessarily dealt with. And they also pop things. So situations that have been lingering for a while that we haven't handled, we have to handle. And situations that we've kind of ignored or put our head in the sand with, you know, kind of pop up and say, you can't ignore me anymore, you got to deal with me. So there's a big energy this next couple weeks about dealing with the eclipses. And the eclipse this time is an eclipse of endings, okay? And sometimes eclipses are new beginnings. And other times they're endings. This happens to be an ending eclipse. It's going to be a little similar to last summer, where it felt like, as Jon Stewart said, it was the summer of death. Everybody you knew died. It's going to have a repeating kind of feel to it like that, because the nodes are in Cancer and Capricorn, and it's particularly the south node, which is the release point of an eclipse, is in the sign of Cancer. So what's going to be happening is you're going to be releasing family matters, or releasing things that give you security or give you comfort or give you nurture, because Cancer is the sign of nurturing. So, and Pluto is opposite it, and the Sun is going to be in the south node. So it is a releasing energy of ego, a releasing energy of emotional stuff, a releasing energy of anything that nurtures you. So kind of think of it as the nurturing stuff is finished. So on a very mundane level, it means like throwing away a bunch of stuff that, you know, it doesn't fit, you don't fit in anymore. You used to love those blue jeans, but they don't fit and you're never going to wear them again. And okay, they can go. Or that photo album, which has all those photo pictures from everybody. Well, you're moving and you've got 20 photo albums and maybe you can make one album out of the 20. It's understanding, it's a desire to consolidate and release. It also is the Cancer house, so it makes a great time for releasing things around food and the body, or things that physically actually do nurture you, the stuff that, you know, like you like to drink a lot, it's a great time to go get sober, because that actually nurtures your, you know, nurtures part of your soul, even if you drink too much. It's a great time to release anything that is of the maternal line, so it can feel like the stuff that you used to do that was part of your, it was a comfort food, was a nurturing energy, was a nurturing supportive thing. It's a time you can let that go. There's also a lot of energy with the South Node in Cancer of saying you can't go home again, that on some level there is a releasing of the energy. So the other part with the South Node is to make sure to be in touch with all of your beloveds, all right, because this is a leaving time. So if you have elderly relatives or sick friends who have been hanging on and fighting the good fight of some illness, this next couple of months, this month or so, is when they're going to make decisions if they stay or go. And so it's a good time to make those visits and to see people and to connect with them and make sure you tell them you love them. Because the South Node in Cancer, somehow we release the thing that nurtured us to become the North Node in Capricorn, the grown-ups in the room. We're going to become the adults. So I have one good friend, her parents are ill. I don't think they're going to pass, but, you know, she's very distinctly aware of that she's the grown-up now, you know, that she really is in charge, even though, you know, she kind of, you know, shares that responsibility with them, but she's very much aware that this is her moving forward, you know, alone on some level because they're getting older and they're sick. And it can be if they're really sick, if the person's really sick or really been battling something, the eclipses are releasing energies. And the body, the moon rules the body, okay? So the South Node is in Cancer, that's the moon. So the bodies that have been hanging on and don't want to be here anymore are going to take off. So we can expect another summer with a lot of people that we grew up with as children leaving, because the South Node in Cancer says, okay, time for them to go. And it also is family energy leaving. So finding the people that you are family with may be shifting and changing, or the people that you consider to be your family can be really changing, you know, how you interact with them or how you relate to them. And it is a releasing energy. So it's a releasing and a going towards grown-upness, but it also is you're losing something in that releasing. And it can be highly emotional because it is this, the node in Cancer. Cancer is a pre-verbal sign. When you have planets in Cancer, those are the planets that do not have words. They have very, very strong feelings, but they don't have words. So as the eclipses come into play, you kind of go, okay, I'm releasing this. And there are no words for it because it's just emotional. It's very deeply emotional in your heart. Felt like it was safe. So I've got one client who sold her apartment last week, got an offer on it, found a new place to move last week. So this week she's going to sign contracts on everybody. And, you know, and the apartment that she's leaving is where she had her two children and where her marriage started. And now because the kids are in school, she's moving into an apartment that's, like, better designed to help them. You know, it's nearer to the school. It's easier for her. But it's also where she grew up as a little girl. So she's kind of going back to the neighborhood where she was raised, which she left when she was, quote-unquote, a single woman and a young married woman and then a young mother. And now she's an older mother. You know, the kids are older. They're in school. So now she's going back to the neighborhood. She's kind of doing the suburbs. I mean, the equivalent of the suburbs in New York, but it still counts. And so, but leaving behind the wild child energy, leaving behind the place where she played as a young married woman and before the kids where the kids had their toddlerhood. And now she's going into, like, a quote-unquote a grown-up apartment. It's understanding that shift is huge, and it's very deeply emotional, and it's very deeply personal. And it's giving each of us the opportunity to create anew. In my case, I'm getting a new couch for my living room. Now, I've kind of been making this change over the last 6 months or so. I got my chair upholstered, and I got a couple new lamps, And the last time I decorated my apartment was 17 years ago, when the nodes were actually in about the same place, when my relationship ended. And I went pink. You know, I went floral pink. And now I'm kind of going blues and greens. It's a little less, nurturing and heart healing and more kind of like, okay, functional, but it's my home. My home is literally changing colors and changing shape before my eyes. And for me, Cancer rules the sixth house of the home, or, you know, the weight, the daily routines. So for all of us, there's a release going on and a new build. So you want to, and it can be major. It can also be, you know, people leaving, dying, or it can be minor. Like, you're not horribly minor, you know, changing my living room furniture is always a little traumatic for someone who likes to have things that stay the same. But it's understanding that this shift is part of us. Now, what's going to happen this week as we go towards the eclipses, because the eclipses are over the next 2 weeks, the energy builds. This week, the universe is going to come to you and say, here is something you really love, right? And you're going to go, wow, I really do love that. So it's going to make the choice a little easier because Venus is moving into Leo, and she is going to trine Jupiter and Uranus, who just shifted into fire. So now she's moving out of Cancer, water, emotion, sensitivity, into fire, and she's going to trine Jupiter and Uranus, who met last week, who said new beginnings last week. And she's going to say, you want to go this way, don't you? And they're going to be like, yes, we do. And the three of them are going to turn to you with those big shiny eyes that they get when they want you to change direction and say, you want to come with us, don't you? You want to come with us? Yeah, come with us. It's Leo. Come over here. It's Aries. Come play. Let's create. Let's vision the new life. So there's this forward motion, the invitation from Venus to move forward into a new way of being. At the same time that Venus is doing that with that Venus is doing that with the big guys, Jupiter and Uranus, Mars is trining Pluto. Now, he last week left Leo, finally, after 8 long months of being in Leo, and this week he trines Pluto in Capricorn. So what Leo was to do the last 8 months was to get you aware of what you love to do, and also on a bad day to get you aware of where you were envious. But what it did was it taught you what you loved, and it helped you get clear on what was fun for you and what wasn't fun for you, because Mars in Leo is creating for the creating's sake, creating for the beauty of it, creating because you love it and adore it, and creating it because your sun wants it, because you really, really, really want it. And now he's in Virgo, and so now he's saying, okay, let's do this right. Let's get the order in place. Let's get this structured and redesigned and redirected and recomforted. So Mars in Virgo is very much about, okay, I'm ready now to do the detailed work. And when he goes into Virgo, he becomes more of an apprentice from when he's in Leo, where he's more playful. So Leo kind of plays around with the concept. Mars in Virgo says, okay, I'm actually ready to do the work. I'm committing to the work. And so Mars does that commitment, and he commits to the work. And he trines Pluto this week, and he says to Pluto, okay, we're starting anew, we're doing this in earnest, we're going to commit, and trines are easy-flowing aspects, and they're in Earth, so it's physical creation, remember? And Mars is also then going to move in to trine the nodes. When he does that, you make a really important connection over the next couple weeks, but this week he's going to say, okay, this is the way to go forward, we're ready to go forward now. And he's in what's called a closing trine to, is it closing trine? Yeah, I think it's a closing trine. Well, anyway, he's in a trine to, I'll have to think about that. I didn't think about that before the show. He's in a closing trine, to Capricorn, meaning he's approaching his conjunction to him. So he's also finishing up the story that began about 18 months ago, if you go back 18 months, when he joined with Capricorn. Then we started a new two-year story, and he's finishing it up right now. And he's saying, okay, we're going to wrap this. We're going to move towards the conjunction. We began the story 18 months ago, so in the fall of 2009, you started the story, and you started making all the changes, and now you're actually taking the action to move them really into a whole new way. No, actually, the fall of 2008, I take that back. Okay, so that makes sense. So in the case of my person who is buying a new apartment, that was when she decided she needed to make some major changes in her life. And it started in the fall of 2008. And now this will be the stamp saying, I really have completed those changes, because Mars takes about 2 years to go around. So it is a closing trine, and back to the fall of 2008, when the conjunction happened and said, okay, I need to change my life. I need to do something different. And now the changes that you've been working on since the fall of 2008 are really going to flow right into place over this next 6 months, as the Jupiter and Uranus say, this is the direction we're heading, and Venus invites you to move that way. So there's a huge, really big invitation, really positive flow energy towards the new life as we're moving this week. Last week was this shift in the energy where suddenly you had the energy to move. This week is, this is the way I'm heading. And follow it. Feel that energy and follow it. It's a very constructive, positive energy. It may not be clear 100% where you're going, but the idea is the invitation has been issued. So go towards the thing that calls you. Go towards the thing that makes your life light up. And it may be that you realized, well, it wasn't this guy or this guy. You know, I was at a party last night talking to somebody, and she had met a nice guy. But it, you know, wasn't really fabulous. It was good. It was not, you know, and then this other guy came in, and, you know, and he was okay too. And she's like, it's really kind of a combination of the two of them. So they're both good in this way and this way, but what I'm really going towards is this new direction. And that's the place to head. So it's the vision. It's the vision getting clear. And the vision of what you want rather than what other people want for you, or the vision of what is important in your life, you know, is going to be clarifying, clearing, and seeing. The other thing this is a very good week for, and you need to do it between now and the end of July, between now and July 26th, what you want to do is you want to think about who you want to bring with you on the journey ahead, okay? That there are people that you want to bring with you over the next chunk of time. Make amends if you need to. Reach out to them if you've lost touch. Because the boats are parting. You know how like when you get in the boat and everybody's in the little rowboats and they kind of separate a little bit? I don't know if you were in Girl Scout camp. I was. But I remember that as like your boats are starting to separate. So if you want to paddle with them, you want to get, you know, kind of say, like, hey, why don't we paddle together? So this is a great time to reconnect with the people that you've lost touch with or the people that you want to have part of this next big journey because we are getting ready to launch it. So if there's people you need to make amends with or people that you need to repair relationships with between now and the end of July, July 26th is the time to do it, to get those things back in order, to get those pieces back in part, back in place, to get those relationships back on track so that you have them in place so that you can move forward with your life into the new direction. I mean, sometimes we lose track of people because we're busy. Other times we lose track because of the changes in our life or their life. They got married, we got married, they got divorced, we got divorced, they moved, we moved, we had a fight because we were stupid about something. Whatever. Whatever the reason was, this is the week of amends. This week, next week, bring it back. You know, if they're important to you or they were important to you or you want to continue to have a relationship with them or you think you might want to continue to have a relationship with them, between now and July 26th when Saturn gets out of Libra, is the time to get those partnerships cleaned up and in place. So make a list of people if you need a list. I know I have a list of about four. I made up with one already, you know, and so now I need a couple more that I need to make sure I kind of keep on my phone, you know, and make an effort to talk to because, you know, you get busy, you lose track. Doesn't mean they weren't important, but it does mean that we need to focus on where the vision is going. Okay, so that's the focus for the week. There is of course other things, you know, and that sounds like the speedy focus, but Venus changing signs going into Leo is a passionate Venus. She's not feeling so sensitive or emotional anymore. She's very clear. When she's in fire, she's passionate, she's in clear, she's visionary, and she's trining the Jupiter Uranus, so she's ready to create the new life. And Mars is trining the Pluto, so he's ready to go forward with the new vision. Mercury last week had a lot of aspects. You got a lot of information. A lot of stuff came in, news, information, ideas. You heard stuff you hadn't heard before. This week, Mercury's quiet, but he does have a couple ideas that are pretty brilliant, particularly around the 16th and the 17th. So listen for his brilliant ideas. Venus is the busy girl this week. Towards the end of the week, she's a little bit stressed, but that's okay. Because whenever she makes these big, bold changes, then she goes, oh! So if she feels a little stressed on the 17th, just be nice to her, because she is a little stressed. and you may find that you lose track of someone or you release someone on the 16th, or there may be a conversation that's a little difficult on the 16th. And if so, that's okay. You know, that was the nature of the conversation was to be difficult. You also can have a little bit of a separating argument from your from your father, from your parent, from someone who nurtures you on the 16th, and that's okay because that means you're growing up. So if you have a little separating argument on the 16th, no problem. Means you're becoming a grown-up, and that's part of what is supposed to be happening with these eclipses. You're supposed to be doing what you want to do. Remember, the whole idea of people giving you advice or offering you suggestions or stuff, they're offering it from their point of view, what they think would be good for you. But this is the week where you get to say, you know what I think would be good for me? I think this would be good for me. Well, you know what I think would be good for you? And then when you say that, kind of bite your tongue, is for you to do exactly what you really want to do and fill it in that way rather than say, well, you know, what you really should do is blah, 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 blah. You should say to them, you know, what you really should do is exactly what you want to do. What do you want to do? Don't listen to anybody else. What's your instinct telling you? Because this is the opportunity that the universe is giving you to demonstrate to you that you've grown up. So take advantage of it. Be proud of it. And don't fear. Just kind of say, well, what I really want to do is this. Say, okay, well, go do it. You know, and give yourself permission to do that energy. All right, so Monday, June 14th and 15th and 16th. So Monday the 14th, the moon's in Cancer until about 8:48. So the closing aspects are good, very positive. Nice closing energy. The ending aspect is a sextile to Saturn. And so that gives a nice positive feel to it. Then the moon goes into Leo at midnight, 11:54, on the 14th, and it's in Leo the 15th and the 16th until 11:24, and the aspect is a moon opposite Neptune, which is a decent closing aspect. The aspects that day are very positive, the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. Lovely aspects, and the moon opposite Neptune is kind of giving yourself permission to move towards your dream, or to move away from the dream that wasn't working for you anymore to a new dream, because it is a separating aspect. So it implies some kind of separation, but that doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing, because you have to think about what you're separating from. And what you're separating from with the moon in Leo, opposite Neptune, is you're separating from a dream that doesn't work for you anymore to give yourself permission to go towards a dream that does. Or you had a dream that was working for you, and it's going to leave you because it's not the dream for you. And if that's the case, I'm really sorry. But if it's the case of you leaving your old dream and moving towards your new dream, it's a positive energy. Then the one on the 17th, the moon goes into Virgo on 1:41 in the morning Eastern time, which is Friday and Saturday, or Thursday and Friday. It's in Virgo on the 18th, and the closing aspect for that is a union to Saturn. So that's a commitment. So the end of the week has got a commitment. And then on the 19th and the 20th, the moon is in Libra, which is partnership and relationship and connection and positive stuff. And that's about the dream coming true with a little bit of stress, but not too bad. So the positive nature of that is an energy. So we're also then working in the Anima Mundi's second quadrant, the house of creativity with the Leo moon on Monday, Tuesday, well, the house of home, Cancer on Monday morning, Monday. Then on Tuesday, Wednesday, we're working in Leo's house, creativity. And then on Thursday, Friday, we're working in Virgo's house. And then on Saturday, Sunday, we're rising above the horizon, going into Libra's house, and we're working in partnership with others. So it's a very nice week for home, creativity, solid work, and then partnership. That's kind of the theme of the week as we go through the moons in those sections. Moon in home, nurturing. Moon in Leo, creative. Moon in Virgo, figuring out exactly how we're going to accomplish it. Moon in Libra, the connection, the relationships. So there's a very positive energy to that. And forward, okay? So hope you have any questions, you'll feel free to email or call, or schedule a reading. Find out what the eclipses mean to you. This is a big time, man, I tell you. All right, so a little short lesson on eclipses, and I see I have some callers on the line. And the Blog Talk people said, oh, last time I had callers, and they didn't even get through. So hopefully we will take some callers, and you'll all get through. But the eclipses, just a short little summary on them. What the eclipses are, they happen twice a year, and they come in sets. So the eclipse that we're building up to is the one at 4 Capricorn, and that's a lunar eclipse or an emotional eclipse, and that's going to be on June 26th. And the one after that is a solar eclipse or a new moon eclipse, and that's on July 11th. And so the presence of those two eclipses, what they do, they form along the nodes. That means the sun and the moon get lined up with the nodes, and they appear to eat each other. In the old days, they said the dragon came and ate the sun, or the dragon came and ate the moon. So when the lights get eaten, people go, oh my God, the heavenly lights are getting eaten. What's this mean for us? And what it means is kind of like a strobe light. You see the world differently. You're focused on it differently because you're looking at it from the point of view of the flashing light or the light lit sideways. You know, if you've ever seen those pictures where they light it from the side as opposed, or the strobe light where they catch it and they freeze it. That's what eclipses do, is they make you see things that you've always been looking at. You've been looking at it forever, but you've not seen it in the way it really is. But now you see it. You see it differently. You go, oh my God, I never noticed that before. And everybody goes, really? You didn't notice that before? And you're like, no. But that's the way it is. That's the way it's been. That's what it's been doing. And you're kind of like, wow, I didn't know. And everybody's like, oh, okay. Now, it's a great time for revealing affairs. It's a great time for hidden things to come to light. It's when you find the underwear or you find the phone number. It's when they find the underwear or they find the phone number or the love note. It's when you get followed. I mean, I've, you know, every eclipse, the last few eclipses I've had, clients have been followed by partner, or partners been followed by client, by spouse. It's a time when you get something different. You get it on a different level. And you say, you know, I can't do it anymore. I've got to change and shift this. I have to do something new and different. And so it's very much about giving yourself permission to move forward in the moment. And it's also about giving yourself permission to see it. So you don't have to do anything about it. The doing takes the next 6 months. But the coming to consciousness and the getting it and the seeing it happens now. And when that happens, you're forever altered. You see it in a different way. You can't go back. You know, it's like when you realize something and you see it and you go, oh my God, that knowledge doesn't go away. So that's the other part of eclipses. The knowledge doesn't go away. Now, the history of eclipses is interesting with astrologers because, you know, we used to work for kings who liked to know when the eclipses were coming, because often it meant that they were going to lose their jobs. It often corresponds to people being in power being taken out of power, and this eclipse will be one of those eclipses. People that are in power will lose their power positions. You'll see a lot of people stepping down, or corporations leaving, or people leaving their jobs or quitting or whatever. But there were these two twin astrologers who worked in China. And there was an eclipse, and they really didn't know how to tell the emperor it was coming because it was going to be right over their heads. And so, of course, the eclipse came, and he was pretty pissed off because they hadn't told him. So he cut their heads off. I always thought, gee, occupational hazard. Who knew you could get beheaded for not calling an eclipse? But you can. So your job with eclipses is to say, the eclipses are coming. The eclipses are coming. And make sure to, maybe I was one of those beheaded twins, announce to everybody that the eclipses are coming and you are, you be ready, a high emotional time coming that you're going to ask you to make a choice. Move towards the thing you really love. Whatever you really love, move towards that. That's the part you should go towards. Remember, because Venus is in Leo, trining the Jupiter-Uranus. Don't give them advice about what you do in your life. Give them the advice that they should go towards what they love, whatever that is. Because it's all about the love with this eclipse. So forward, and we'll talk more, obviously, as we go on. And so we'll take callers, 347-215-7467, 347-215-7467. So if we go. Hello, caller, how are you? Are you there?
Hi.
Hi. Anne? Yep, Anne.
Oh, great. I do have a question about what's going on with my job, because a lot of these transits are taking place in my 10th and 11th houses.
Okay.
Would you look at my birth chart for me?
Sure. What's your birth information?
2-2-1982.
Wait, wait.
At?
2-2-1982 at?
11:55 a.m.
Where?
In New York.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 2282, 11:55 in the morning. Okay, so let's see what's going on for you. No, the eclipses aren't in your career house. They're in your 11:55 in the morning, right?
Like, that would be noon.
Yeah, like noon. Okay, yeah, no, the eclipses are in your house of money. They're in the second in the second house, and the eclipses are in the second. Are you talking the Saturn Uranus, maybe? The Neptune is in the 10th house. Yeah, okay. So Neptune's dissolving your career. That's in the 10th house. So your 10th house has Neptune up there, and it's trining your Pluto down in the 6th. So it's dissolving your career and your work, and it's also squaring your moon, which is your work. So it's saying to you, is this really work that you love or not? And if it isn't, then you need to move towards work you want. The eclipses are in your second house. So the one that's of particular interest to me would be the one that takes place on the 26th, because that's going to be on Vesta. So that's got something to do with where you're living and the home and hearth and where you're actually staying. So did you have a specific question, or just that was going to bring to light stuff about your rent or your housing? So sometimes that shows up as, you know, needing to move or being presented with an opportunity to move or a new apartment coming to light for you. Or I don't know. Does that make sense? Just what's going on?
Well, would I possibly be offered another job if this one wasn't what I wanted to do? And
yes.
I thought you said that I was going to like this job because Venus would smile at Uranus from
Venus is in a nice place now in your chart. So you're having, your job, you know, you've got a lot of planets in the sixth house, so there's always like kind of a hidden power struggle thing that goes on where you work. So part of what you have to work on, or part of what is about your chart life is, how do I work with kind of the hidden power struggles to get them to kind of settle down and calm down? And the Venus going into Leo is down in the third house, so it's kind of more of an attitude change. And then the Jupiter-Uranus takes place in your 11th house of groups, so it can be a change in the groups that you're in, but it's not necessarily a work change. But with the Venus changing up in the heavens, it's saying, okay, what's your attitude towards your work? What's your attitude towards the groups? And in your case, your workhouse has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 planets if we count asteroids. So that's a lot of energy in that sixth house of work. So what happens there is some of the power struggles that went on when you were a little kid growing up play out in the work environment. So you have to kind of be conscious of that, or that's part of what you're here to figure out. So if you're working with people in the work that are mean or abusive, then it's about you saying, you know, I don't really want to work with people that are mean or abusive. I need to maybe change jobs and find something that's better for me. And it's also about having clear boundaries with the people who work with you or work for you. If you have employees who report to you, or with your coworkers, because you've got a lot of energy there in that sixth house of work. And so for you, what happens is the areas that you're supposed to be getting conscious about play out in the work environment. Does that make sense?
That makes more sense than you could know, Miss Anne.
Okay.
Would you give information about, like, how I could get a private reading? Would you, quote me a price, or should I email you?
On my website. It has a thing on the website that says schedule an appointment with Anne. So if you look at the Blog Talk Radio, there's a link, and the website is Anne Ortley. Or the website is astroanne.com, because most people can't spell my last name. So AstroAnne's easier. But on there, it has a little tab that says schedule an appointment. And then you just go in and click. And for reading, it's 1:30 for an hour. And, you know, it's pretty straight. And if you say you're from Blog Talk Radio, I charge normally a setup fee, but I've already kind of looked at your chart, so I don't charge it for the Blog Talk people. So when you say who you referred by, say you were referred to by Blog Talk. So, yeah, so the point is, when you have that many planets, you know, the story that went on when you were little around having power, and if you were little and you had health issues too, because sometimes the sixth house is health issues, and that also is the house of high school, that time period of between eighth grade and 12th grade. so that period, you know, 14 to 20 to 18 in there is that same section. So that's the area of your chart that's particularly poked at and challenged, and that the universe says, all of your, if you go back to then and you work on the issues from then, you're going to always be able to figure it out because it's all tied to that story. It's all tied to that time. And because Pluto and Saturn are joined, it's about what kind of relationships do I want to have, and what's the balance of power in those relationships, because that's where the struggle takes place in your chart. And it, for you, it's about saying, I'm not interested in being in power struggles with you. Let me come up with another way to do it. And that's, if you can do that, that helps enormously calm down the problems at work.
Hmm.
So, but the eclipse is going to bring them to light. So, you know, and now you're seeing it in a new way, your Venus wants to move forward because she's shifting and she's not feeling like she wants to suffer anymore. She wants to kind of say, you know, that's really not very nice what you did. And, you know, I'm not really interested in you excusing your behavior. You got to own what you did. You know, it's making people be conscious of what they did and then recognizing what's going to happen with you is they're going to maybe play it out on you. Meaning they're going to take their stuff out on you, but you then have to say, no, you're playing your stuff out on me, not acceptable.
Hmm.
You know, and you've got that great moon in Taurus, which is an exalted moon, so you can definitely do this.
Okay.
Good?
Well, thank you. That's a lot. Like, you wouldn't believe, like, that is exactly what all my work is.
Yes.
All the time.
All your time.
It's so deep, and it takes all of my energy.
But it does, but that's why you have to balance it so you don't get sick. Because that's the house of illness and health, too, right? The sixth house is a busy house. It's health and illness. It's the house of your body. It's the house of your pets and your habits. It's the house of your daily routines. You got a lot of heavy-duty planets in there. So the idea is they need to be used up. You know, we need to have work for you that uses those planets up in a positive way so that it doesn't take your energy away, so that you have leftover energy to do other stuff with. So.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
All right.
Good luck
with
it. Keep me posted. Okay, bye.
Hello. Okay, bye.
Hello, 917. How are you?
Hi, good.
Hi. Did you have a question?
A lot of what you had just talked about dissolving relationships and things that aren't quite working, something like that happened, but... And then, of course, I just told the person that, you know, to leave me alone and not, I wanted to end it. But now, of course, I feel like maybe I was a little rash, and I was wondering if you could look at the two charts and see if it's...
Sure. Well, let's look at yours, because you're the one that wants to end it, and they're not. So let's see what's going on with you. What's your birthday?
They just want to let... I mean, they're very deceitful, so they sort of want to keep it going, but keep it going in, like, a bad way, and I'm just on a different spiritual path. So I don't know if I could tolerate sort of the lack of trust that I sort of had. Mine is a 925-57.
925-1957. What the time?
6:36. I'm sorry, 6:37 p.m.
Okay, where?
Miami, Florida.
Okay, September 2557. 6:37 at night in Miami. Okay, so you are saying goodbye, goodbye, and they're saying, oh, maybe not.
No,
yes.
they're always putting me in, and then when I get there, they're never really there. And
right.
I just, and them, and, you know, they just pull me in for the moment and don't mean it 3 days later, and I'm just, 7 years later, I'm just like, I can't do it.
You can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm.
No. But then I feel bad because I still want to do it, and I feel like, am I too rash? In my judgment.
No. No, I would say no. Two things. One, whenever you hear the word 7 years, right,
yes,
you immediately think Saturn. So what Saturn says, it's 7 years, 14 and a half years, 22 years, and 29 years, is he says, do you want to continue with this relationship in the existing structure, or do you want to change it? So immediately when I hear seven, I think Saturn, and that I need to be talking restructuring the relationship so that it serves the needs better than it has in the past, because that's what's up. It's why most marriages last 7 years, why most mortgages, or 14 and a half, mortgages are 7 years. It's a time of decision-making. Does this still work for me or does it not? So that's part one. Part two, you're a Libra. You like to be in relationships. But you're having Saturn roll over your Mars and your Sun this fall, and you already had it go over it October, November, December. So you would have probably given them the boot back then, and then they crawled back in, right?
I didn't talk to them for 6 months, and I just called, and then I put the whole thing all back in again,
mm-hmm.
and then they, like, you know, I think cheated on me already.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So what it was you ended it, and when Saturn went into Libra at the last part of October, you said, okay, I'm done. I'm doing something new, and now it's ready to go into a different place. And then this last month or two, the whole idea is the universe has given us a retest, and he's saying Saturn actually is giving us a test because he's in the last degrees of Virgo, and he's saying, are you going to agree to be a servant continually, or have you learned your lessons? So you said, okay, I've learned my lessons, and you let him back in because you were nice, and then you missed him because your chart does. And when you attach very strongly with all your Scorpio stuff. You've got three planets in Scorpio plus the North Node. So your chart really attaches deeply emotionally.
There's a triple Scorpio, too.
Oh, there are triple Scorpio. Okay, so even more so. Now, the whole thing with triple Scorpios, and I mean this in general for all Scorpios, and I love them. I have a lot of Scorpios in my life, but they were not wanted when they were born, okay?
Well,
either
they are.
Somebody didn't want them. Either they were born, somebody died, and the mother was crying, or they're the replacement for a dead baby, or, you know, they're twin. You know, there's some drama with the Scorpio that they aren't wanted. So they
mm-hmm.
set up these stupid tests to prove they're loved, huh?
Can I give you the birth date?
No, we can do it all from your chart. I don't need to look at you. When you said three, your moon is 3 degrees of Scorpio. And you said within three, and that's it, the moon there, he does an emotional betrayal. And your chart, the moon, what Scorpios want to do is they want to test you to prove that you love them. And you have to say, I do love you, but you can't do this behavior. And if you continue to do this behavior, not acceptable. The other thing is your seventh house is all those Scorpio planets. And in the 12th, that makes their 12th house be your sixth house. The 12th house is Mars in Libra, Sun in Libra, Jupiter in Libra. The person sees something that looks really desirable, and they go for that. That's the house of cheating. So you have a lot of planets in the sixth. If you have a lot of planets in your sixth house, very often partner cheats on you. It's a hard thing, just part of the way. Because that's their 12th house. They can't help themselves. They're like, I just was walking down the street, and this woman offered me a blowjob, and I took it. You know, and I couldn't say no. How could I say no? It's Bill Clinton. Well, it depends on what your definition of sex is. It's like it's a cheating position. So you have to be very vigilant with your chart to hold them accountable for their behavior.
Well, that's the first time I've ever done that in 7 years. I said, don't ever call me again. You know,
yep.
No matter how much, you know, your heart aches, do not call me. Because I can't go through that. It's too much.
Right. You're done. They're not done with you. They're going to call again. You'll hear from them definitely on the second eclipse, which is the one in July. Because part of Scorpio's desire is to be they really want to know that you love them. And you have to say to them, I love you, you're wonderful, but the behavior is bad, and I'm not putting up with it anymore. I'm done. And that hopefully stops the bad behavior, but not usually. But if he's a triple Scorpio, he's got three planets that don't feel loved instead of just one.
Right.
So your job is to say, and your job with all that Scorpio stuff in your seventh house is to find someone who actually does nice things for you. So when you go out on a date with someone, the first thing you should do after you go on the date, you get to the restaurant, you say, oh, I have to go to the ladies' room. Get me a drink. Get me a Tanqueray and soda, or get me a glass of red Merlot or Cabernet, and then go to the bathroom. And when you come back, if there is not a glass of wine at that table, don't date them again. I don't care how hot they are, because they can't give you things. They can't order you a glass of wine while you're in the bathroom.
This round, I feel like I really need someone who can, you know, I have to not always be in the giving position. I have to receive.
Yes, totally, totally. And that's what your chart's trying to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to say to him, can you order me a glass of wine and go to the bathroom and see if they can.
And no turning back to the other. You said in July they'll probably try to contact me.
They'll be back again. Well, the whole idea with the 7 years, if after being banished for however long they were banished, they invited themselves back into your good graces and then they did something mean to you again,
right?
Then we just say, you know, you're out of control. The reason I broke up with you was because of this, and I'm not interested in doing that. Scorpios always come back. You know, that's one of the good parts or the bad parts. You're going to hear from every ex-lover at some point in your life who's going to call you and say, you know, you were really great. I'm really sorry I screwed it up. And you need to say, yeah, I know, I'm sorry you screwed it up too, but you did screw it up. You see that, right?
They just called to ask to marry me, wanted to marry me on May 18th. Marry me.
And then he freaked himself right out, and he ran off and did this bad thing again, right?
Totally caught him with, you know, another person.
Yeah.
You know, friends, but who knows? I don't have any trust.
Yeah.
I just have to do it.
Right.
I feel like maybe I just said it too soon, but apparently not.
No, I would say not too soon. Because he knows what the terms are, right?
Yeah. No going back to that situation. No resolving that.
Well, what you can do is you can resolve it. You can be friends with him, but I wouldn't date him. I would just say, you know, you're nice enough. I'll be your friend, but I'm not dating you. Because
no,
you're a hound dog. Huh? Yeah.
Too toxic. Too dangerous.
Too dangerous. Okay.
Too dangerous. Yeah. Well, that was good.
Yeah. No, I'm really in fast mode today. Nope, dump them. No, I mean, I would just say with your chart, if it's 7 years, they came back and they did a betrayal, you got to say, what are you doing here? Come on. You know, this isn't right.
Yeah. And
fair. Huh?
I think a little substance abuse in there, too.
Yeah.
But what about new things in my horizon?
Okay, let's talk new. We've got nice new ones, because part of it is when you say no more bad relationships, the universe says, okay, I hear you. We're ready. So you've got Jupiter comes through your first house next year, so that's usually a big burst in relationships, but that's more whatever. You're also having your progressed new moon right now as we speak, okay? So the story that went on when you were two in your family is up for being looked at. Whatever your parents' marriage was about. When you have what's called a progressed new moon, you have an awakening. And the progressed new moon is a 2 Libra, and it's between your natal sun at 2 and your Uranus, your solar arc Uranus at 2. So this is a big awakening. And then the moon moves forward, gets to Jupiter in about 8 months, and gets to your 7th house, which is really a big partnership relationship, in about 9 months. So I would say you're in a very serious, committed relationship in about 9 months with this chart's activities. Because what you're doing now is you're having a new moon. So that person, when you banished him for the last 6 months, you cleared him, came back in, you said, all right, well, maybe. And then, you know, it's not hard to clear the last little energies out. And I would really sit down and do releasing energy. Say, okay, I'm releasing him, and kind of whatever else I need to do, whatever ties I need to let go of.
Right.
So that's a positive. Venus rules your 7th. And right now she's at the top of your chart in Capricorn. She's going to have the nodes on her. The node was on her now, literally, as you're letting him go. And the eclipses are in the 4th, 10th, you know, where we come from, where we're going. So I would look at your relationship that your parents had and see how your relationships match it. Make that be your work on this eclipse and come up with, okay, that what they did was this. What I think about that myself as a relationship issue is this. And your mom somehow, the story, go back and look at the story of the mom's mom and the dad's dad, okay, and what those two people did in terms of how they play out in your relationships. Because when you have a loaded 7th house, very often that means that there was a story with the grandparents that's pretty significant that is actually really trying to clear, because the progressed Neptune is on your moon now. So what you're doing with this fellow is also clearing out the story from the mother's part, probably more from the mother's place than the dad's. So look at the mother's mother and her story and how that impacts your relationships. And then you've got the moon there starting a new 30-year cycle around relationships right now. So this is a real declaration of, no, I'm not going to take it anymore. What I want in my relationships is bup, 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 and really be clear about what you're looking for. And remember, part of the drama that you saw with mom and dad was not necessarily the right word for it. It wasn't necessarily what you would want to live in as a relationship. So your job is to, you know, you don't really want their relationship, but you might not have your own vision of what you want in relationship. You have kind of a blank there. So then the universe just kind of sends you candidates. So it's like, rather than knowing you want to wear sneakers, they send you high heels, they send you flip-flops, they send you combat boots. So
yeah,
sit down on the...
Maybe more spiritually aligned with me would be a good idea, because I've been really working on that in my own life. And this full moon that's coming up, like, I feel like that's going to be really agony for me, because I'm going to really miss this person. I feel like this moon, I need help. How do I survive this full moon?
On the full moon, it's the north node's on Pluto. You're going to have your vision of where you're going with your new life. And you're going to say, you know, what I want is emotional clarity and emotional cleanliness. I've done this work on my spiritual path. And if I'm working with someone who's doing lower forms of Neptune, which are deceit and drugs and alcohol, that's not the higher forms of Neptune in the sense of the spiritual path. So I want to pull in higher forms of Neptune. So I would sit down. I'm always in favor of a good ritual on the full or new moons where you light a candle and you say, okay, because the moon that we have that takes place on the eclipse is in your third house of defining what you're looking for. And the new moon that we just had was in your third house of defining what we're looking for. So you've got two moons in that house. One is the one that just happened, and then the other one is the one that's coming. And so it's really about what is it you're looking for in a definition for yourself about your vision of where you're going. Does that make sense? The other thing is the eclipse is on your solar arc south node. So it's a very powerful, I would sit down and say, okay, go through your history of relationships over the last number of years, last 30 years, since moon got to moon before. And and just kind of say, what did I learn from each of them? And what did I release? What do I want to release that I have left over that's blocking me from moving forward? Recognizing with Libra's sun, your purpose is to be in relationship in this lifetime. So you're supposed to have relationships that you learn things from, because your job is to be in relationship. So it's, you know, but it doesn't mean you have to be in relationship that are bad. But if they were bad or they were challenging, but then also look at the positive things that you learned from each relationship and kind of do a, I'm grateful for learning this. I'm Gemini. I'm grateful for learning this. I'm glad I learned this lesson, but I really want to release anything that allows me to repeat that.
I needed the strength this time to just end it, because I didn't want to be in that place. I knew the vibration was, like you said, lower Neptune energy, and I have really worked hard to bring that vibration up. Mm-hmm. So the two eclipses, one is with the full moon on June 26th, and one is in July.
The one in July is in the fourth house on your series, so that's going to bring up mother stories. So you want to look at how your mother sacrificed herself for love. Or how your mother's mother sacrificed herself for love, because it's the mother's side of the family. And the nodes are in that fourth house, so it's releasing old pre-verbal beliefs about what you're due or what's possible for you. So it's releasing from the family chain, you know, and it could be just that girls aren't as good as boys, but it could be, you know, girls have to be this way in a relationship and sacrifice for the guy, or whatever the message was.
Girls have to be with narcissists. I think that's the message of the female link.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that you don't have to be with narcissists. That narcissist is negative Neptune.
Yeah.
Neptune,
yeah.
Narcissist, I think I'm God, so you should love me and adore me and worship me no matter what I do.
Right.
So you say, no, girls don't have to be with narcissists. Girls can be with equal partners that can do for them. And that's why when you go to the restaurant and you order a drink or you order a glass of water or you say, give me a salad, give me some rolls, that you find out right away if they can get you anything. If they can't give you anything, don't even go on a second date. Just say,
right,
you couldn't order me a drink, you know.
But you do need love in my future.
Yes, well, totally, because you're a Libra. There's, you know, and you've got all those planets in the seventh, and you've got all those planets in the sixth in Libra. So, yeah, totally relationships. This is a relationship chart. That's the purpose of it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amazing. I love you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good one. Okay, so the British lady said... 60 seconds. We don't have a lot of time left, so we do have some other callers, and I apologize for not getting to you. And there's a couple that didn't raise your hands, so if you didn't raise your hands, I didn't call on you, because I only call on you if you press, you can listen to the radio show, and you have to press 1 for me to call on you, because Sue told me don't go calling on people without their hands raised. So I don't. Thank you, Sue. So forward, the week is busy. Follow your passion. Follow your love. Follow your belief in what's possible for you. Follow your vision of what makes sense. Follow your understanding of what your soul's calling you to do. There's a lot of turbulence in the next few weeks. Encourage people that you know and love that there is turbulence and that it's okay. That's the turbulence is about them picking which way they want to go and that they should be very brave and just stand in the middle of the turbulence and announce what they want and say, you know what I really want? What I really want is, and then say it out loud. Give your heart permission to sing this week. Give your heart permission to say what it wants. So this is Ann Ortley, your astrologer at my bright red desk, and we're talking to you from Manhattan, and no cats anywhere near me. They've all gone. They've all left me. Oh, my God. All right, so I'm going to leave you and go find my cats. And in the meantime, have a great week. Enjoy it and listen to what your heart sings, especially when Venus shifts into Leo, because she knows what she wants. Give her permission to help you go towards it. Take care. Have a great week. Talk to you next week. Bye.